Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we are talking about yoga blocks. And not the blocks as in, why don't I want to do this, but blocks as in the little sort of, you know, not rectangular, they're three-dimensional, aren't they?
Yeah.
Could be made of cork, could be made of bamboo, could be made of foam, could be sewn up as a pouch and stuffed with sand or something.
Yeah, could be cork. You get them in all.
Bamboo.
Yours are bamboo. Wooden blocks, yeah, they come in. They're pretty general size, but they do vary in size. But there is a general size, and you would have seen them. And I have a stack of them in the studio too. And I wanted to look into this because I was looking recently and saw an article, and I thought, wow, there are so many ways to use a block. And I have to say I'm pretty guilty of underusing them.
And they really just cope without them.
You do. And they're a tool, and they're part of, you know, they're part of your yoga kit because they are so helpful and can help you get so much more out of your yoga practice. And when you've been doing yoga for a while, I suppose you forget, but especially as a teacher, it's good to be aware also of encouraging people to use them and encouraging them to use them, not that that's a sign of weakness or that they can't do something, but they're just a useful tool, just like people have tools for painting or welding or whatever. You know, you have your toolbox to help you do the job better. So why would you use them? Because they help you reach. So instead of, if you're doing a forward bend, they can bring the floor up a bit higher. You know what I mean? So if you had your two blocks, and usually you'd need two, so you put your hands on the blocks and rest your hands, and they might allow you to go into a forward bend with a lot more ease than thinking, oh, God, this is hurting, my hamstrings are killing me, and this is really not very comfortable, and I hope we can come out of it soon. So
ease is always the goal with muscle stretching. Like if you send a fear message to your body, then you're not going to get any response from the muscles in terms of them relaxing. So you really want to make that work for you so that you don't have to be comfortable.
No.
I think a little stretch is good. You want to be challenged, but you don't want to be kind of locking up because you're in a really awkward position.
So they can help with that. They can help, you know, take that strain out. So they can help prevent a lot of injury, because sometimes we will overstrain or overreach when a block could have just helped prevent that. You can use them to build strength. You can use them for a whole range of more accessible ease in postures. So some of the classics that you could use them for really is, one, the forward bend. And because they are pretty stable, you can turn them on their long edge or you can turn them on their short edge to bring it even higher up. So you can adjust the height of your block as to where you want it to suit you better. So they're really worth playing with. When you go into the bridge pose, I haven't used this a lot, but on the few occasions when I've done some restorative work or something, you can use your block underneath your lower back.
Oh, it's amazing.
To support you in the bridge.
It's wonderful.
Is it? Tell us what your experience is.
So you're talking about lower back or sacrum?
Yes, more around the sacrum.
Yeah. So and this is a reason that even if you have no trouble reaching, if you're quite flexible and you can get your palms flat on the ground and you can do a rotated triangle without sort of wobbling about, like even if you find, like, still get blocks, because there are so many ways you can use them, especially for some really deep relaxing work, that you need it. There's no way, like, there are alternatives, but it is the optimal way to practice. So and one is the supported bridge, where you're in a bridge position and you take the block and you place it under your sacrum, so the tip of your sacrum is just hanging off the edge of the block. And then relax there, like lie there for a few minutes. And it's delightful. And it's the point of it is to relax in that posture, not to be using all of your muscles to hold yourself up.
Yeah.
So different to an active bridge where you are intending to sort of put the curve into the spine and really strengthen your back muscles and your glutes. This is designed to relax everything and sort of give a little bit. It's a subtle inversion, basically.
Yes.
That allows the spine to lengthen more than it probably does in most inversions. So it's, unless you're actually hanging off a bar. But it is a wonderful practice. It's very easy to do. It sounds hard. When I was first directed into it, I was like, this is probably not going to be very comfortable, but it's amazing. Really, you get a deep release in the lower sacral area.
Yeah, no, it's worth worth trying. So there's so many ways. And one of the other examples is if you're going into Warrior Three or some balance poses where you're so focused on trying to balance that you probably lose a lot of the focus of the pose. So if you think of Warrior Three, which is where you're standing on one leg and the other leg is out behind you, and you sort of want that, so you don't want to lift it too high and you don't want it down and you don't want the hip cocked up either. You want the sacrum nice and flat. If you have your hands on two blocks, so you're not going into the full warrior where your arms are out and you're balancing, but you can get a good sense for the practice of feeling where your hip needs to be, because the tendency in those poses is that you lift your hip too high. So if you've got the blocks underneath your hands, you can get a good sense of extending back through the leg. You can get that nice lengthening, which is often what you're after. But if you're too busy trying to balance, then you're not always going to get all the benefits of some of these poses.
Mm.
And the same with the downward dog. Mm. Mm.
It's a proprioception training tool as well, I think, in that, you know, you sort of and props are useful in any kind of physical that we use certain props in dancing for training because it helps you isolate movements and figure out where in relation to other parts of your body and space something is supposed to be for it to be in alignment. And, and so props are really useful for that too, in terms of even if physically you can get your hand to the floor and that's okay for you, you might get a deeper practice by isolating a certain part using props.
Absolutely.
And really being able to bring your focus to a different area. So... They are definitely useful for that and also for lots of other restorative poses too, like, you know, you're sort of propping up a bolster.
Really good for that.
To do a bend, like to do a sort of a backward bend over or
something. Yeah, to lie over it. Yeah, very good for that. And there's not much to replace them with. So, you know, they come in a big range of sizes. They come in a big range of costs. So, you know, you can find one to suit your budget. And it's really hard to improvise with a block. Some people say you can use textbooks. Well, they don't have the same stability because there's movement in a book. And I guess the most you could use is if you had a sturdy towel and you folded it and folded it. But, you know, to be honest, you're really much better off just investing in a couple of blocks to have
too
the ease
squishy.
Of use.
I would go for a firm, because the point of these often, depending on how you're using it, if you're using it for something like propping up a bolster or using for the supported bridge, that you need that firmness there. Like the block I use in the supported bridge, it's a bamboo block, it's wood. It's quite hard, you know. But it's not uncomfortable. The firmness is actually what's really important for the body to recognize this is a surface over which I am now reorienting myself. It's kind of like lying on a hard floor. It's really good for you to do that because maybe concrete might be a bit too hard, but, you know, like a hard wood floor or, you know, a mat over concrete or tiles or something. Like having your body on a hard surface gives it a point around which it can reorientate itself.
Yes, yeah.
And that's really important for your proprioceptive sense. It happens on a subconscious level. You don't have to lie there going, exactly where am I? But it might be interesting. Where am I digging into the floor? And is this one side tighter than the other? So I think, you know, having a firm block is quite, and foam is fine. Like that's firm enough.
Foam's good. Foam's good.
Soft ones like folded towels and, you know, even firm pillows are not really enough.
They don't quite work. I've actually got a couple of cloth blocks, and while they're good, they're very different to like the foam block or the cork block. So they do. And it's about finding, I suppose it depends what you're using it for, but it's also about finding what you actually like to work with as well.
The soft block might be quite nice for things like if you're in it. So another really good one, if you're working on like your hip flexibility is in the a sort of deep lunge, I suppose, like the runner. Where you're trying to, like, you know, the goal is to have one leg extended behind, one leg bent next to you, and you're on your elbows. It's like getting down to your elbows can be very difficult. So putting them on blocks. Soft blocks is nice for that. The hard blocks are a little bit hard on the bones. But you could then just put a towel over your hard blocks.
You could, yeah. The other pose that it's really effective is, I don't use this pose a lot, but it's the fish pose. Matsyasana. You can support the mid back, and then that allows you to sort of get that nice opening all through your throat. So it's quite nice to use in those sorts of poses. And you've got that choice of where you put it. You've got you've got different planes where you can put the block to suit how high or how low you need it. And the other thing that I find them useful for, instead of carting lots of things around, you can actually use them for meditation. So when you're sitting, quite often you just want a bit of raise through the hips. So you can sit on your block and it lifts the pelvis, and you can sit cross-legged then because you've got the pelvis higher than the knees, and the knees can more comfortably place themselves on the floor. So it's quite effective for sitting and meditating, sitting cross-legged under your sit bones.
Mm. So and it could replace a meditation cushion if you are sort of starting a yoga kit and you have a mat, and what do you get next? Blocks are probably your next best thing.
I would say so, because you can use them. You can use them to prop yourself up and sit. And I've also seen it, you know when you're sitting, it's known as hero's pose. You're sort of sitting on your, you're just really kneeling. That's what I'm looking for, kneeling.
Your haunches kind of thing.
Yeah, so you're kneeling, and that can be quite strong for some people because it's quite a strong pull through the quads and also on the back, on your ankle joints, because it opens up the ankle joints.
Do you have your toes tucked under or feet back of like the top of your feet on the floor?
Well, if you're kneeling, my toes are not tucked under. The tops of the feet are flat on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's quite strong too.
Mm. They're both strong.
They're both strong.
Flat on the floor is a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, so what you can do in that kneeling pose is put the block underneath, sit on it. Use it as a support under your sit bones. So that's an interesting way of using it. I haven't tried it, but I've seen it used. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting one, because I don't have any trouble kneeling, but some people do, and it's too strong and it's too hard for the knees in a lot of cases to be that extreme. But if you had a block under there that just took that edge off.
You widen your knees and put it between your legs, or
put it between. Sit on it.
You wouldn't rest it on your legs. That would be a bit weird.
No, not on your legs. You're sitting on it. Yeah. So just sit on it. Yeah. And try that. And then off the mat, I know when I've been doing trainings and you're limited in what you can take with you, blocks suddenly become good little mini desks when you've got to make notes and write. You can lean on your block, and even when I've been in workshops, if you're given out a feedback form or a form to fill in, a registration form, quite often you can just pick up your block and use it as a bit of a platform to rest on. That's quite handy. So they have many uses on and off the mat with your blocks. So I think they're very underused, and I'm very guilty of it. They're very underused in my studio. So this has inspired me to sort of think about, oh, maybe we can start working with some postures and bring these blocks in and see how they can support getting into some of these postures that you perhaps might not try, like the fish pose, because it is quite strong.
And get two. Don't get one. I got one. I got one to start with because it just came as part of a set. And then I was sort of trying to use it and going, actually, this is not that useful. But it's like there are plenty of times when you do use one block, but if you've got one, you often want to.
Yeah, I think it's worth getting two.
And it makes it easier to do more sort of flowing sequences and things. Like if you're flowing from one side to the other, well, you might only need one block at a time, but you can have one resting on each side ready.
And then
you can, because that's the challenge I find with using props in a flow class or sequence, is that you're kind of having to stop and rearrange your props all the time, which can kind of break that rhythm. So have them, like, figure out where you would want it on the mat and have it close, and have one at each end of the mat, so that when you go to the other side, the other one's already there. You don't have to stop and go back and grab it.
Definitely for work, they're really good for triangles.
Yes.
Really good for triangle work, and also for the rotator triangle. So once again, it's bring the floor up to you, to meet you, so that you can retain your integrity of your posture without strain. So think about using them in that way. So there's many things you can use them for. The other thing that, when I was doing some work with Donna Fari, that she did as an alignment and pelvic stabilizer, she puts the block between, just above her knees, between her thighs. And you can align yourself in Tadasana with the block there and see how that feels, because it really does make a difference. And even when you're doing things like, you can leave the block there and do the bridge pose with it between your thighs, and also the downward dog, and it just really stabilizes the pelvis. So it's quite an interesting exercise too, to have a feel of what that feels like, to keep the pelvis stable because it helps you keep it stable because you're keeping the block there.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about props, I think, is that even if flexibility wise you don't need it, quite often, especially people who are more flexible, find that the challenge then is strength in a pose and stability, and not hyperextending or wobbling around, or the hips going side to side or back and forward. Tilting often is an issue, and so having to hold something in place, you know, with gentle pressure, not squeezing, it's just enough to keep it there. It's that can be a really good exercise in maintaining internal stability and strength.
I've noticed that was really good for that. So many ways to use it. So if you've got a couple of blocks and you're thinking, oh, well, I was told to buy these and I hardly ever use them, get them out and start using them.
Have a play with them. And you can use that any yoga posture you're doing. What could you do with a block here? See if you can think of a way to use it, even if it is like, you know, Tadasana is not an obvious one, but can you hold it between your legs?
Yeah, put it there and just see what that does. It's really nice alignment for the pelvis and just strengthening the SI joint if you have issues around that.
It's a foam block and it's not going to bruise you on the way down. Yeah. You might stick it on your head. I don't know. Be creative.
Yes, be creative. Yeah. So I hope that's been helpful and it's inspired me to next series of classes get the blocks out and see what I can do with them. So, yeah, I'm going to use more blocks.
And if you're wondering what all the panting is in the background, it's not me, it's the dog. He's come to sit right next to me.
I did hear that and I was going to say, what is that? I knew who it was who's trying to invade this space because he tries to get in on everything.
Do you want to say hello?
Are you going to say hello?
Speak? That's not a speak, is it? Speak. He's doing a disobedient charge off.
A bit of huffing and puffing to finish finish today's session.
We will leave you to go and experiment with your blocks or go play with your dog if you have one. Have a good week. Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye.